This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on VSiN Prime Time, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you here on the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air and at VSiN Live as we are into the second intermission of Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final in Edmonton between the Oilers and the Panthers. Right now, as we take a look inside the score here, the Panthers with a 3-2 lead. This was an exciting second period of action where the Panthers scored Sam Bennett his second goal of the game just 2 minutes into that second period, kind of reminiscent of what we saw in the first period where Leon Draisaitl scored a minute into the first period. Well, Sam Bennett scores 2 minutes into the second period, gives the Panthers a 3-1 lead, but a minute and 17 seconds later, Victor Arvidsson scores for the Oilers and pulls the game back to within one goal. There were no more goals for the remainder of the second period, and that's where we sit right now with the Panthers leading 3-2 at the end of two periods there in Edmonton. Your live betting markets right now, Panthers are a minus 300 favorite to win this game. The Oilers, you can get them at plus, actually that market has changed. Let's see, minus 270 for the Panthers to win the game. Oilers plus 200 on the comeback. Your puck line prices, Panthers minus 1.5 at plus 140. And plus 1.5 of the Oilers at minus 180. Your live total is at 7.5. And honestly, it's a number that I would play. It's at plus 135 to the over. And if I know that we slowed down a bit here, the scoring. But if we think Edmonton ties this game up, do we really believe this is going to overtime and there's only going to be one goal scored in the third period? And it's only going to be 3-3 going into overtime? You see, I think we're seeing multiple goals scored in this third period. In fact, that's actually a trend that we've been tracking here at VSiN. I know Jonathan Davis has been tracking it also. The third period has been going over 1.5 in the majority of these games here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Well, the total in this third period is at 2.5 right now on DraftKings, but I'm pretty sure if you shop around, you can get a 1.5 somewhere because 2.5 is at plus 140 to the over. And if we just look, let's see if what other books have lines on the third period total, because maybe you play an over 1.5 in the third period. So that would be, you know, this way, if it does go under 7.5, you can still win this by getting to 7. Let's see. Third period total goals. I'm looking at FanDuel and some other books as well. 2.5 is listed. MGM, let's see. They might have a check a number here. I want to give you guys the best options here in the market because I'm not going to play a 2.5. But I would play an over 1.5. Depends on how heavily juiced it is. If it's minus 200 or greater, not a play that I would make. Let's see. Third period up on MGM, over 1.5 minus 175. I'd make that bet. So that looks like it's your best line right now on the third period, over 1.5 minus 175. Continue to shop around. You might be able to get a minus 160 or minus 165. But I do like there to be multiple goals scored here in this third period. We've seen multiple goals scored in every single one of these periods, and these teams are going to amp up the pressure as we get later on into this game. Let's take a look inside the numbers to see what we've seen through the first two full periods. I'm going to look at all situations here, as we often do. We're going to look at both even strength as well as all situations. Well, at 5v5, throughout the course of the game, 5v5, the Oilers, 44 attempts. That's all shot attempts. Doesn't matter if they're blocked or missed the net, whatever. 44 attempts, 31 for the Panthers. Of those attempts, 35 for the Oilers have gotten through, 19 for the Panthers. And actual shots on goal, 22 for the Oilers and 14 for the Panthers. So 22 and 14, those are your numbers just at 5v5. Now we're going to look at all situations because these numbers are going to change when we look at all situations here. As we look at the high danger chances, we've had 7 for the Oilers, 9 for the Panthers, and expected goal numbers for the entire game. Oilers 2.27, Panthers 1.59. And it's 2-2 when it's 5v5. 2-2 when it's 5v5. Now let's look at all situations. The score is obviously 3-2 in favor of the Panthers. Okay? And if we look at the numbers here, let's see. Actually, I'm sorry. I actually read those opposite. Those numbers, the 2.27 is actually in favor of the Panthers, not the Oilers. Panthers, 2.27 expected. Oilers, 1.59. Now let's look at all situations. Panthers expected goals, 2.49. Oilers, 2.56. So the Oilers a little bit below expectation with the only two goals scored. Panthers right around where they are, 2.5. They've scored three goals. If we look at the, let's see, shot attempts, shots on goal, we know that the shots on goal are in favor of the Panthers, 24 total shots on goal to just 22 for the Edmonton Oilers. But in terms of all attempts, like forget about the ones that have been on goal, just look at all of them, 49 for the Panthers, 45 for the Oilers, 38 have gotten through for the Panthers, 31 for the Oilers. It's a very close game that has been slightly in favor of the Florida Panthers. That's pretty much it. I mean, that's exactly where we are here. If we look at all situations here, it has been, yeah, this game started out in favor of the Oilers, then down in favor of the Panthers, back up to in favor of the Oilers, and then towards the end of the period, back down in favor of the Panthers. If I just look at a flow chart here of not win probability, but controlling the game and possessions. But looking at the numbers here through two periods, your Corsi percentage, 52 to 48. That's even, slightly in favor of the Panthers. Your Fenwick percentage, 55 to 45 in favor of Florida. Your shots on goal, 52 to 48. We're talking percentages in favor of Florida. Your scoring chances, much more in favor of Florida. And your high danger chances actually have been in favor of the Oilers. And the expected goal numbers, right there, 2.49 to 2.56. So it's been an evenly played game, slightly in favor of the Florida Panthers. I think we're in for an exciting third period, and it would not surprise me if the Oilers tie this game quickly, because we've seen quick goals scored in this entire game. In fact, let's take a look at the third period. I'm wondering, can we get, someone's got to have a gift. You know what the gift is, guys. Goal in first 10. Someone's got to have that market up. Let's see. Nothing on DraftKings right now for the third period. Let's see if FanDuel's got something here for the third period. Because I think we had a goal 1 minute into the first period. We had a goal 2 minutes into the second period. Here we go. Third period, goal in the first 10. The yes is minus 185. Cockroaches. They juice this thing so much. Goal in the first 5. Ooh. This is plus 135. Ooh, do we take a shot at this? Plus 135, goal in first 5 minutes of the third period? I mean, I think we could have an early goal. I'm more comfortable going goal in first 10. That's minus 185, though. So maybe we take a shot at that plus money price, that plus money grab there on the goal in first 5 of the third period. I do think we get there. It would not surprise me if we see the Oilers come out and score early here in this third period. While I'm at it, let me give you guys the numbers for the game on potentially going to overtime here. So I always like to give these out, even though we talk about the puck lines being the play, because these games have been decided by multiple goals. What is it, 20 of the last 22, as our very own Jonathan Davis told us. So Panthers minus a goal and a half right now is plus 140. They're up 3-2. It's reasonable to think that they go on and get the empty netter. If you think this game goes to overtime, it's only at plus 220. Not good enough for me. I need it to be north of plus 300 in order to play that. I do think the Oilers score. But am I really banking on like Florida not to score or the Oilers to only score one goal? I don't think that's the case. I already said I like the over 1.5 in the third period. So I'm not going to bet on plus 220 on just one team to score and the other team not to score. Or there'd only be one goal. I don't see that happening. But let's take a look right now at the box score, because our best bet that we gave out for this game was Leon Draisaitl to go over 2.5 shots on goal, and he has gone over with 3 shots on goal. So far, no stat correction. As we had, remember, in the first period, Leon Draisaitl had 3 shots on goal in the first period. At least we thought he did. And at the start of the second period, we looked at the box score. He only had 2 shots on goal. So they obviously had a stat correction. They took a shot away from him. Not the case here, though, as we go into the third period. Draisaitl right now has 3 shots on goal. So that has cashed the over for us. As for Connor McDavid, just 1 shot on goal. 1 shot on goal for McDavid. That is surprising. And when he's been on the ice, he is a -1. But then again, we haven't had... we did have 1 power play in that second period for the Oilers that they did not convert on. I think Edmonton does score and tie this thing up, and then we'll see how the rest of the third period plays out. Ultimately, the bet for me would be the over 1.5 in the third period, and I like that. Even though it's -185, I think we get a goal in the first 10. I think we get an early goal here in the third period. Want to remind you guys about the VSiN Morning Bets podcast. It's your first look at the day's betting lines, sharp action, and market movement in just 15 minutes. You're going to get everything you need to make smarter wagers and stay ahead of the line moves. Hosted by VSiN's trusted team of betting experts, the Daily Morning Bets podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts or the VSiN Watch app. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Oh, Yerfies in Sacramento, how I love thee. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's VSiN Primetime here on the Sports Betting Network. Ryan Jeffers with a solo home run in the top of the first inning in Sacramento. The Twins with an early 1-0 lead over the A's. We did play the over in that game, just as we've been doing each and every game here. And they were... 13 runs scored, or 14 in the first game of this series, 13 in the second game of this series, and the Yerfy comes through as Jeffers with that solo home run in the first inning gives the Twins a 1-0 lead right now, bottom of the first there in Sacramento. They're in the top of the first inning in L.A. This is a game that I loved the over in between the Mets and the Dodgers. Tony Gonsolin on the bump for the Dodgers. Going for the Mets is Griffin Canning, and you look at the first 2 games of this series, both of them were decided in 10 innings. The Mets got the win in 10 innings, 4-3 in game number 1 of the series. Dodgers get the walk-off win 6-5 in 10 innings last night. Both ninth inning runs scored by the Dodgers. Mets with opportunities to close it out. It was Edwin Diaz in game number 1. It was Brozoban in game number 2. Unable to close it out as the Dodgers were able to force extra innings. But right now, the Mets looking to jump out to an early lead as Tony Gonsolin struggling here to start the game, as Francisco Lindor gets hit by a pitch, and then Brandon Nimmo reaches on a fielding error. So second and third, as Juan Soto is up right now. Soto on a little bit of a hot streak, 3 home runs in his last 4 games, but 2 of those were in Colorado. So, I mean, can you count that? I mean, I guess Colorado's a confidence booster, but he homered in yesterday's game. And for Tony Gonsolin, you know, this is kind of reminiscent of the start that he had against the Yankees, where he struggled early on and gave up, 5 runs in the first 3 innings? But then they left him in the game, the Dodgers did, and he settled down nicely for the remainder of that game. In fact, Gonsolin wound up going 6 innings, only allowing those 5 runs, and he actually got the win. But he struggled early on, and that's something that the Mets are looking to take advantage of, and we as bettors should be looking to take advantage of as well. And in fact, his last start against the Mets, which was back on the 24th, the Mets scored 1 run in the second inning and 3 runs in the bottom of the 4th off of Gonsolin. So Gonsolin's given up runs early here so far this year, something that we should have been looking to take advantage of, maybe playing a Yerfy in this game. And as the Mets do score, Soto was up, and Soto grounds out to second base, which scores Francisco Lindor. So the Mets with a 1-0 lead, and Pete Alonso has just homered. So now the Mets have a 3-0 lead over the Dodgers. So well on your way towards an over, and the Yerfi does cash as the Mets have scored 3 now off of Tony Gonsolin in the top of the first inning. A single hit by pitch. Lindor hit by pitch. Brandon Nimmo reaches on error. Juan Soto grounds out, scoring a runner from third. And then Pete Alonso just hit a 2-run home run. Mets lead 3-0 over the Dodgers. And I'm going to take a lesson from what we saw from Gonsolin and from the Dodgers previously. And that is that this scoring's not going to stop. So, yes, we've had 3 runs scored already in the first inning. Your live total is at 12.5. I'd still be looking towards this live total to go over because I liked it at 10, and I still like it now. The Dodgers haven't batted yet. I think the Dodgers are going to score runs. But also, what have we seen from Tony Gonsolin and from the Dodgers? He's given up runs early, and they have stuck with him. Dave Roberts has allowed him to pitch. So even though he gives up these 3 runs in the first inning, they're still going to let him pitch in this game, which means the Mets will have another opportunity, at least another opportunity, if not more opportunities, to score more runs off of Tony Gonsolin. So I don't think the Mets are done scoring here. And I think the Dodgers are going to score against Griffin Canning. Right now, because of this 3-0 lead, you can get Dodgers are only plus 190, which is crazy. I guess it's the first inning and there's still plenty of baseball left to be played, but you would think, like, and now it's down to plus 170. You would think a team's down 3-0, you can get north of plus $2. I mean, come on. Nope, not the case here. Dodgers plus 170, down 3-0. They didn't even bat yet. Live total is at 12.5. So good start there for the New York Mets. Elsewhere, as we take a look at what's going on around the diamond, the Diamondbacks with a 1-0 lead over the Braves in the top of the 8th inning. For Merrill Kelly, he has gone 7 innings, allowing 1 hit, 8 strikeouts, and 1 walk. So Merrill Kelly allowed that hit for the Braves in the bottom of the 6th inning, a Ronald Acuna single. So he goes 5 2/3, no hit baseball before allowing a single to Ronald Acuna. He then gets out of the 6th inning. He stays in, goes 1 2 3 in the 7th inning. And now they're in the top of the 8th and the Diamondbacks with a 1-0 lead over the Braves. Merrill Kelly, 8 strikeouts in this game through 7 shutout innings. Chris Sale, 10 strikeouts through 6 innings of 1-run ball. So we've had quite the number of pitchers tonight have some really good outings. Long, lengthy, no-hit outings, high strikeout outings. It's been a pitcher's day here on Wednesday. Tigers with a 4-2 lead over the White Sox, top of the 4th inning there in Chicago. No score as we go to the bottom of the 3rd in Seattle, Mariners and the Orioles. And in the top of the 3rd inning, the Padres with a 2-0 lead over the Giants. Padres scoring those 2 runs in the top of the 1st innings. How about this? In your late games, you add Yerfi's, the yes run 1st innings, in the Padres Giants, Twins A's, and Mets Dodgers. All yes runs in the 1st innings. In those late games. How about that? Twins and A's, it's just that 1-0 score. Your live total on that one is at 9.5. I think now's the time to buy in because it is reduced from the 10 or 10.5 that it was before the game. 9.5 minus 130 to the over. That's a play for me. I like the over 10 or 10.5. I got to like it at 9.5. It's only been 1 inning. So you get now a reduced price here just because we've gone through 1 inning with only 1 run. The total goes from 10 to 9.5. Like, okay, I'll take it. I would take advantage of that right now and play a live over between the Twins and the A's. As I mentioned, we're on a streak right now of the last 2 games in this series. The 1st 2 games in this series all went over 10-4, 10-3. And now it's 1-0 Twins here in the 2nd inning. And go before this road trip for the A's, go back to their last couple of home games, 9 runs against the Phillies, 15 runs against the Phillies, 7 runs against the Phillies was a low-scoring game, believe it or not. And then 15 runs against the Angels, 15 runs against the Angels, 12 runs against the Angels, 7 runs against the Angels. So it's been an overrun here It is the most profitable over ballpark in Major League Baseball. The most overs out of any home team in baseball has been the Sacramento A's. The second most has actually been the Dodgers. No surprise, because the Dodgers, continue to hit. By the way, that Pete Alonso home run is now number 239 for Pete Alonso. And that is significant because he is now three away from tying David Wright at 242 for the second most, and Darryl Strawberry at 252, Mets all-time home run leaders. And it's crazy to think, because Pete Alonso hasn't played that many years in Major League Baseball. But Darryl Strawberry, 252 home runs, the most in Mets franchise history. Pete Alonso now, with that home run, puts him at 239. And what's crazy is David Wright, who has 242, played in 1,585 games. Pete Alonso is playing in his 908th game tonight. Darryl Strawberry, the franchise leader, at 252, had played in 1,109 games for the Mets. Again, Pete Alonso playing his 908th game for the Mets. What a career Alonso has had. And I say this a lot when it comes to the New York Mets. Yes, Juan Soto has been hot lately, and he's coming on, as we talked about before, three home runs in his last four games. If not for Pete Alonso, where would the Mets be this season? Because Juan Soto's not having a great season. And so you just think about it. If Pete Alonso wasn't doing what he's been doing, how would the Mets look right now this year? But fortunately, Pete Alonso is doing what he's doing. Another home run here as the Mets lead 3-0 in the first inning against the Dodgers. You want to know where the money is really going? Well, unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you the insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just the public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at vsin.com/subscribe. We have a goal in Edmonton. Tell you about it coming up next here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The Edmonton Oilers have scored a goal and tied the game. 3-3 is your score, as there's about 11 minutes to go in the third period, so in regulation, as we could be headed to overtime, who knows. But cash that goal in the first 10 of the third period. If he did play that, Mattias Ekholm scoring the tying goal for the Edmonton Oilers. I'm Scott Sadenberg, joined in studio now by Greg Peterson, who's coming up next hosting Cashing Out here on VSiN, as we're going to talk some Major League Baseball, take a look at the schedule for tomorrow's slate of games. Greg, before we get into tomorrow, let's take a look at tonight's games that are in progress. What do you think of playing live overs here in both the Twins A's, which is 1-0 in the second inning right now, and Mets Dodgers 3-0 in the second inning?
Well, I certainly like the over in the A's game, because everything is just flying out of that ballpark at this point. And they decided to go with the opener system with Justin Sterner. And of course, he gives up a solo home run in the first inning, which always makes me think, why the heck did you go with an opener? What was the point of that? The guy gave up a home run in the first inning. So there's that aspect of things. But absolutely, I would be taking a look at an over there. I just have not been bullish on this entire A's bullpen in general, and you're probably going to be seeing a lot of it. And then with regards to that Dodgers game, I was initially leaning a little bit more to the under, but it's clear that Tony Gonsolin does not have it tonight. And that is a Dodgers bullpen that is dealing with a lot of injuries. Like Jack Dreyer, Ben Kasparis have been long guys that they've been really relying upon. Kirby Yates being on the injured list, Blake Treinen being on the injured list. I mean, there's a lot of attrition, and Tanner Scott has been terrible this year. So I would be looking a little bit more at the over with the start we've gotten.
Yeah, Pete Alonso with a two-run home run in that top of the first inning as the Mets have a 3-0 lead over the Dodgers. I can tell you this right now. If Francisco Lindor homers in this game, live bet the Mets money line. The Mets have now won with yesterday's with the win 2 days ago. The Mets have won 27 consecutive regular season games in which Francisco Lindor has homered.
That's crazy.
So if he homers in this game tonight, live bet the Mets money line, even though it'll be a hefty price as they're up 3-0 right now over the Dodgers. Well, Greg, the Rockies did it. They swept a series for the first time since last May. They beat the Marlins 3-2. They are now riding a 3-game winning streak. They are off on Thursday, but they are against the Mets on Friday in Colorado. How do we attack the Rockies now after this 3-game winning streak?
Yeah, I think that says a lot about the Miami Marlins more or less than anything else, because my gosh, like what we saw at the Miami Marlins was, I think deplorable is the right word for it, because with the Colorado Rockies, I don't think that was necessarily anything that they did great. Now, they do bring in a guy like an Orlando Arcia, Therio Estrada, so it's a better team than when they were 9-50, but I mean, if Orlando Arcia and Therio Estrada are your saving graces, you know where your organization is at. And plus, we already saw this series a week ago. The New York Mets were able to take care of business. I believe that they covered the run line in every one of those games. Yep. So I do think that order is going to be restored, and the Colorado Rockies are going to be going back to looking like the MLB version of the Washington Generals.
Diamondbacks and Braves, they're in progress right now. Bottom of the eighth inning in Atlanta. The Diamondbacks with a 1-0 lead. Chris Sale and Merrill Kelly, both incredible nights here. Merrill Kelly with the out-dueling Chris Sale. Sale only allowed a couple of hits here and just the one run with 10 strikeouts. But Merrill Kelly had a no-hitter going into the sixth inning, gave up, hasn't given up a run, and he's got a bunch of strikeouts as well. The Braves only one hit on the night, but this is a game that was delayed because of weather, so they got a late start. By the time this game ends, if we don't get extra innings, because right now we're in the bottom of the eighth, it is 10:30 Eastern time right now. These guys aren't getting out of the ballpark till easily after midnight. The reason why I bring that up, Greg, is because tomorrow there's a noon start for the Braves and the Diamondbacks in Atlanta. Grant Holmes for the Braves, Brandon Fodd, who the joke was he threw a yes hitter in his last game.
Yes.
Because every batter he faced got a hit. Yes hitter. How do we want to attack this game? And could we look towards maybe a lower scoring game with maybe both teams being a little bit sleepy with the early start and the late night tonight?
And you could legitimately see some more, shall we say, backup guys that get into this game. This could be one of those situations where they decide it was a late night last night, so you know what, the backup shortstop, you're going to be playing today. But I still have a tough time backing Brandon Fott right now in any sort of anything good, because, I mean, you just mentioned it. He got completely lit up like a pinata in his last start. And for the Arizona Diamondbacks, they do have a very suspect bullpen, and with this Diamondbacks team in general, it's going to be a body clock game for them as well. So I don't necessarily look at the under as much as I like the Atlanta Braves a little bit more, because with the Atlanta Braves, having Grant Holmes, he's starting to come into his own. I like what he's showing. They have the better bullpen as well. So with the Atlanta Braves, you're finding them, before I was coming in, about minus 130, minus 135 on the money line. I think that that's very solid value.
I just think that this could be one of those really quick games that we see from time to time where it's only going to be played in like 2 hours or an hour and 50 minutes. Both of these teams are getting out of Dodge. It's a getaway day spot for both of these teams. Braves are going across the country to San Francisco, I believe, for a series that begins on Friday, and the Diamondbacks will head to Cincinnati. So both these teams, it is a 12:15 Eastern time first pitch there in Atlanta. I could see them both wanting to get the heck out of Dodge.
9:15 local time for Arizona.
Exactly, 9:15 Pacific, yep. We'll have a doubleheader tomorrow between the Cardinals and the Royals after tonight's game was washed out. I had a bet on tonight's game, and it was the Royals in the first five inning. It was Noah Cameron on the mound for the Royals, Miles Michaelis for the Cardinals. That right now is your scheduled matchup for game number one. Now, we always have to caution when it comes to betting doubleheaders, list your pitchers, because these managers can make changes at the last minute and decide they want to flip-flop and put somebody in game number two versus game number one. But Noah Cameron, Greg, what a start to a career this kid has had, and you're getting plus money value on him. I took the plus a half a run in the first five innings, laid a little bit of juice here with the Royals, but I want to back this kid now because he is off to a tremendous start to his career, 2-1 with a 1.05 ERA.
It's incredible what we've seen, and it's not like he's been some sort of a strikeout artist. He's getting fewer than 6 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he's been inducing a lot of soft contact. He's been keeping the walks low. Now, do I think that there's going to be a little bit of regression from a sub-150 ERA? Yes, I do. I don't think that he's going to be able to continue this forever. But another guy that I think is doing for regression, Miles Michaelis, who pitches to a lot of contact. He's been keeping the ball in the yard. To his credit, he's looked much better this year, but he's also up with regards to his walks this year as well, which I find that to be interesting. His walks are up, his strikeouts are down, and he's pitching as well as he has in quite some time. So that's something where the math is not mathing, in my opinion, and the Royals do have the better bullpen. Lucas Ursich, Carlos Aceves, they've been a really nice 8th and 9th inning duo. Guys like Daniel Lynch and company have stepped up in that bullpen as well. So this is a spot where if we can get a similar money line, like a plus 115 or so to what we were seeing when this game was taken off the board, I'll be backing on the Royals. And I do like the over because I do think that you've got a pair of guys pitching to a lot of contact that see some regression.
Yankees will send Max Fried to the bump, looking to avenge a loss here to the Guardians. Yankees are going to be heavily favored. I'm seeing minus 265. Is there a way to play the Yankees and Max Fried here against Cleveland?
I think the way that you do it is by taking a look at the under, because I do think that Max Fried is going to be able to continue what we've seen thus far this season, a sub-2 ERA, not really walking anyone. His strikeout numbers aren't necessarily like off the charts. They're solid. He's getting about 8.5 or so strikeouts per 9 innings, but this is a Cleveland Guardians lineup that you do have your question marks with. Now, laying minus 250 is just not a go. And if anything, you're getting plus money right now on a run and a half with Cleveland Guardians. I'm right now seeing that at a plus 110, especially if this goes to like a plus 115 or so. A lot of people banking on the Yankees just being able to restore order after what we saw today. I think that that could be able to present a little bit of value. I think that the Guardians bullpen is doing for some positivity. And for Slade Cicconi, he's actually been way up with regards to his strikeout numbers, 10 strikeouts per 9 innings. Problem is, in his first 3 starts, he's given up 5 home runs. So that's a little bit of an issue. And now you've got Jazz back in the fold for the New York Yankees. But I do think that for the Guardians, you're going to see a little bit of positivity with that bullpen. So I like that under. And I'd be looking at a run and a half with the Cleveland Guardians at plus money.
All right. And we saw Class A have a get out of the 9th inning, give a little bit of a gym here tonight, but he did get out of it, not allowing a run to the Yankees. Well, Greg, we have not had any more runs scored yet in Sacramento. The Twins still have a 1-0 lead over the A's in the 3rd inning. Your live total is still 9.5, but now you're getting even money towards the over. I still might buy in on it because at some point we know there's going to be an offensive explosion in this ballpark.
And the A's bullpen, ERA north of 6. Dead last in the big leagues.
What has gone on with the A's? I mean, they looked so promising to start the season, and it has gone all. They had a terrible month of May.
And I think a lot of it has to do with Mason Miller, the closer. His ERA is north of 5. This is not the same guy that we saw a season ago, and that's really a big reason why the bullpen issues have been where they have been. So I think that a lot of it has to do with that A's bullpen, because offense hasn't been amazing, but it's been fine. But that pitching, man, nobody's giving you a good start. Nobody's giving you innings out of the bullpen. When you can't pitch, hard to be able to get a lot of wins.
What do you got coming up on Cashing Out?
Oh, we're certainly going to be taking a look and recapping the Stanley Cup final game. We're going to be having a few great guests. Wes Reynolds is going to be coming up. He always does a tremendous job on the golf front, and we have got a lot of baseball to preview.
RBC Canadian Open. Get the best bets from Wes Reynolds coming up. He's Greg Peterson. Catch him on Cashing Out coming up next. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. He's at GUnit81.
_81.
_81. Can't forget the underscore. You can hit us up on the network at VSIN Live. We'll update you on what's going on in Edmonton. We're approaching the final 5 minutes of the third period. Still tied at 3. Stanley Cup Final, game number 1. This is VSIN Primetime here on the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Primetime, I'm Scott Seidenberg here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we are into crunch time. The clutch time, as they say. On the ice, 5 minutes to go in the third period. We are still knotted at 3 between the Oilers and the Panthers. Your live total is at 7.5, but now you're getting massive amounts of plus money on and over, because the only way this hits is if you get a goal in the next 3 minutes or so. Otherwise, we are headed into overtime tied at 3. But if you do get a goal in the next couple of minutes here, then you do have the potential for an empty netter. Your live line right now is the Oilers minus 130, which is a little bit juiced from where it was to start the game. If you recall, Oilers were actually minus 130 for a couple of days here leading up to game number one. Money came in on the Panthers late here prior to the puck drop, moving the Oilers down to minus 120. In fact, minus 114 in some spots, especially here at Circa, minus 114. Now on the live line with under 4 minutes to go in regulation, the Oilers minus 130 favorites to win this game, and we'll see if in fact it does go into overtime or if somebody gets a goal here at the end of regulation. As far as the full game bets, we are not going to cash on the minus a goal and a half on either side, because I, you know, unless we do get a goal here late and then we get an empty netter, we're looking like we're headed towards overtime. Okay, so I'm not going to call it a loss yet, but I'm going to say we're likely to lose the minus 1.5 both ways. But we did cash on the best bet that we gave out, which was Leon Draisaitl to go over 2.5 shots on goal. Draisaitl with 3 shots on goal has gone over the 2.5. He scored the first goal of this game. He also has 3 missed shots, so, I mean, he's taken a bunch of attempts here, but 3 shots on goal so far officially for Leon Draisaitl, so we did cash our best bet. And the live bet that we gave out, which was the goal in the first 10 in the third period, well, that cashed because the Oilers scored to tie the game just 6 minutes and 33 seconds into that third period. It was Matthias Ekholm with the third period goal. Likely not going to hit the over 1.5 in this third period. Like I said, unless we get a goal here late, and that live total of 7.5 that we talked about with Jonathan Davis, likely not going to come through either here, as we're going to get 7 goals in this game as we likely are headed towards a 3-3 overtime. There's 3 minutes left, but this is the most fun part of the game right now, is do we get a goal? Do we get the opportunity for an empty net, or does this game head to overtime knotted at 3? It has been a fascinating game to keep an eye on, as we expect this to be a long series. I like the 6 or 7 were the props that we talked about before this game one started. And, you know, looking at the Oilers, that was my pick here for game number one. That's my pick for the series. I do have the Leon Draisaitl Conn Smythe bet, but Oilers to win this game was my play. And we look now at the history of the game ones in the Stanley Cup final. We're 13-4 to the home teams in the last 17 years. So if the Oilers can win this game, they'll make it 14-4. And if the Panthers win, well, they will be bucking a trend here that has been very, very strong. Not only has it been strong in the Stanley Cup final, but it's been strong in the NBA finals as well. Just the game one home teams are a very profitable trend here in championship series. As I mentioned, 13-4. Game one for the Stanley Cup home teams in the Stanley Cup final. Speaking of the NBA finals, though, I am all over the Oklahoma City Thunder in this game. I love the Thunder in the first half. That is my best bet. I gave it out earlier on VSiN at minus 5. It's minus 5.5 now, and I would still play it. And one of my favorite bets that I've talked about a lot across a variety of shows here on VSiN is the wire-to-wire plays. And for those who are not familiar, wire to wire means, and DraftKings has these bets, other books do as well, and if the book doesn't have a wire to wire bet, you can get creative and do a same game parlay. I'll tell you how to do it in just a moment. A wire to wire bet on DraftKings and other books mean that the team has to have the lead at the end of every quarter. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have to win every quarter. Obviously, you have to win the first quarter and you have to win the game, but you have to have the lead at the end of every quarter. You can get the Oklahoma City Thunder right now up on DraftKings at plus 115 to go wire to wire. And so just think about that for a moment. They're 9.5-point favorites for the game. In the first half, they're 5.5-point favorites. In the first or 5 right now, actually. So you can get minus 115 on minus 5. Play that, play that, play that. First quarter, they're 3-point favorites. So to me, that's the market like really buying into like these trends of the home team starting out fast. I'm going to give you the numbers here in just a moment. So you can play wire to wire at plus 115, Thunder to have a lead at the end of every quarter. Or if your book does not offer that, for instance, BetMGM doesn't offer that, but you can get creative and you can do a same game parlay and do money line first quarter, money line first half, money line full game. That's at minus 130. I built that myself on BetMGM. Or if you want to make it a plus money proposition, how about this? Forget about the money lines. I just told you Thunder are 3-point favorites for the first quarter. They're 5-point favorites for the first half. They're 9.5-point favorites for the game. You can do alternate spreads. Lay a half a point or lay 1 point in the first quarter. Lay 2.5 if you want, or the full 5 for the first half. And for the full game, whatever you want to do. You don't necessarily have to do the money lines. You can make this a plus money proposition. The bottom line is, any way you can get creative to make some money off of this is what I would do. Because I think the Thunder dominate this game, number one. If we look at the history of big favorites in the NBA Finals, 9-point or greater favorites in the NBA Finals, it's pretty rare. It's only happened 7 times. Those 7 teams are a perfect 7-0, straight up, never lost. They're 4-2-1 against the spread, okay? But this is what I found fascinating. These heavy favorites dominate early. They are winning the first half in those 7 games by 8 points each on average. 8 points. That would cover the -5 here. There's another trend that comes into play here for game number one, and that is the Thunder being at home off of a long layoff. I know some people like to talk about the idea of rest versus rust. That is a fallacy. There is no rust. Rest is good for these teams. Rest is good. Long layoff doesn't matter. Home teams in the NBA playoffs, and I went back through the history of the database, goes back to like 2004 or so. Home teams in the NBA playoffs on 7 days of rest or more, so a week off or more, 21-5 straight up, 19-7 against the spread. On average, these teams are 8.5-point favorites. So that's right in line with where we are here with the Thunder -9 to -9.5. So it makes sense. These numbers apply here to the Thunder because on average, these teams have been 8.5-point favorites. Home teams, NBA playoffs, long rest, 7 days or more. 21-5 straight up, 19-7 against the spread. Again, on average, 8.5-point favorites. But just isolating those teams in the first halves, they are winning by 9 points per first half. So we got multiple trends backing an early start here from the Oklahoma City Thunder. We already know at home how great the Thunder are, how big of a margin they play with at home. This defense is going to shock the Indiana Pacers. And I think the Pacers, I expect it to be a short series. We talked with our very own Jonathan Von Tobel. It's likely to be a gentleman sweep, where the Thunder win the first 3 games, Pacers win game 4 at home, Thunder wrap it up in 5. But I think the Pacers can be competitive in this series. It's just not going to happen in game number 1. Game 1 is going to punch them in the mouth. And so I think the best play is Thunder first half -5. That is my best bet for game 1 of the NBA Finals coming up on Thursday night. Thunder first half -5. And if you want to get creative, like I said, the wire-to-wire on DraftKings is plus 115, or create your own same-game parlay to have them win the first quarter, win the first half, win the full game, get some plus money value out of this thing, because I expect them to have a big lead at the end of the first quarter, have a lead at the end of the half, and then go well on their way to a victory. We are headed to overtime in Edmonton. The Oilers and Panthers tied at 3, only 1 goal scored in that third period. That was Matthias Ekholm, 6 minutes and 33 seconds into that third period. The Oilers, 36 shots on goal to just 26 for the Panthers. So what an effort from Edmonton there in that third period as they tie the game. And now we head into overtime, game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final. Your live market right now has the Oilers at minus 120. That's exactly where it was prior to the game starting. Coming up next, Greg Peterson has cashing out. He'll take you through this overtime period. And then tomorrow, wake up with VSiN by the books with Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis at 7 a.m., followed by a numbers game with Matt Brown at 10 a.m. Eastern. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. This is Primetime. here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.